Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and insights in the automotive industry. I'm your host, Mario Gear, and in today's episode, we delve into some major developments shaping the automotive landscape. First up, we discuss Tesla's recent decision to trim its electric vehicle output amidst a slowdown in the market. What implications does this have for the EV industry, and what factors contribute to this shift? Then we'll explore why Volkswagen election could represent a significant opportunity for the United Auto Workers to achieve a long-awaited organizing victory. What's at stake for both the workers and the automotive giant? Next, we'll examine Stellantis' emission deal with California and how it brings much-needed clarity for dealers. What are the details of this agreement, and how does it impact the future of emission regulations in the automotive sector? Afterwards, we'll take a closer look at Daimler's truck milestone achievement of connecting over 1 million trucks and buses worldwide. What does this mean for the future of transportation and logistics? Finally, we'll discuss McLaren Group's successful completion of a capital reorganization and the mentioning of their future HPH, hyper performance hypercar, I believe is the structure. What does this restructuring mean for the renewal automotive and racing company's future endeavors? Join us as we unpack these crucial topics and provide expert analysis of the ever-evolving automotive industry's landscape. Stay tuned to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast for all things automotive, right here on your favorite podcast platform. First story up, Tesla trims EV output as market slows. In response to slowdown in the Chinese electric vehicle market, Tesla has made the strategic decision to trim its EV output at its manufacturing plant in China. Despite a 17% increase in passenger vehicle sales across China during the initial 2 months of 2024, Tesla has experienced a decline in shipments, highlighting the challenges faced by EV manufacturer in the dynamic Chinese market. This adjustment in production reflects Tesla's effort to adapt to changing market conditions and optimize its operations accordingly. The reduction in car production at Tesla's Shanghai facility involves scaling back shifts to align with the slower demand for EVs in China. This move underscores the importance for automakers like Tesla to remain agile and responsive to market fluctuations, particularly in regions with rapidly evolving consumer preferences and regulatory environment. As Tesla navigates these shifts in demand, observers closely monitor the company's strategic and their implications for its performance and market positioning in China's competitive EV landscape. Tesla's decision to trim EV output in China amid slower market growth underscores the broader challenges and opportunities within the global EV industry. As Tesla recalibrates its production strategy to align with market demands or market dynamics, undoubtedly shape the company's trajectory in China and influence broader trends in the EV sector. So yeah, what do you guys think about that one? But then again, Tesla's Shanghai plant, couldn't they possibly export those vehicles being produced there to other countries outside of China? You know, like nearby countries that could be potential opportunities for them? Yeah, what do you guys think? Comment down below on that one. All right, let's move on to our next story. Why the VW election could be the UAW's best chance at an exclusive organizing victory. The upcoming unionization vote at Volkswagen's Chattanooga plant presents a critical opportunity for the United Auto Workers to secure a significant win in the southern region. With the UAW president Sean Fain's strategy heavily reliant on leveraging favorable contracts obtained last fall from Detroit automakers, Detroit automakers, this vote serves as a litmus test for the union's viability in the South. The outcome of this vote could potentially reshape the landscape of labor relations within the automotive industry, particularly in the southern United States, where union representation has historically been limited. Volkswagen's statement expressing full support for a election allowing every employee to vote on union representation underscores the significance of this event. The Chattanooga plant has been a focal point for unionization efforts in recent years, with previous attempts narrowly failing. However, the UAW remains undeterred in its pursuit to organize the South and views this vote as a crucial opportunity to achieve its long-sought-after organizing victory. As workers at the Tennessee Volkswagen factory petition for a vote on union representation, the automotive industry watches closely to see how this pivotal moment unfolds. The outcome of this vote not only has implications for Volkswagen and its workforce, but also for a broader labor movement in the southern United States and future of union representation in the automotive sector. So, yeah, what do you guys think about that one, that the unions are making their efforts to, obviously, good or bad? I personally have my own personal opinions about unions, and you could say I'm against because I've seen in past what, quote, unions have, you know, representation have done to family members in my family, i.e. what I'll just say is the lack of support from the unions for my particular family members. So I'll just leave it at that, and it just leaves me disgusted. So I'll leave it on that one. But let's hear your stories or comments. Are you for or against unionization? Let's hear your stories, good, bad. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. Alrighty. Let's move on to the next story. Story three, Stellantis' emission deal with California adds clarity for dealers. Stellantis has struck a significant emission deal with California, providing much-needed clarity for car dealers. This deal comes after Stellantis faced limitations on shipments of gasoline-powered vehicles to states adopting California's emission rules. The agreement signifies Stellantis' commitment to reducing carbon emissions, showcasing a proactive approach to environmental sustainability. The partnership between Stellantis and the California Air Resource Board, or CARB, aims to drive efforts in carbon emission reduction. Stellantis CEO Carlos Travers expressed confidence in the deal, emphasizing its benefit for consumers, the planet, and potentially dealers. By avoiding up to 12 million additional metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions through the 2026 model year, Stellantis demonstrates its dedication to environmental stewardship. This collaboration underscores the automotive industry's transition towards cleaner technology and regulatory compliance, with Stellantis providing proactive steps to align with California's clean car standards. The deal sets a precedent for other automakers to follow suit. As the automotive landscape evolves, partnerships like these contribute to more sustainable future for both the industry and the environment. I wonder what they're saying about that. It's like California has already stated that by 2035, no more gasoline sale engines in California anyway. So it's like, what's 10, 11 more years going to do, you know? They're going to say, but you know, put higher standards on what more miles per gallon. They're already at the brink of, I think, what current technology, automotive technology can push on vehicles, you know, getting miles per gallon and cleaner tailpipe. Outside of making the vehicles paper thin and lightweight, you know, to try to extend, you know, get those higher mile per gallon goals, what does that say then put into as far as safety concerns goes on how well these vehicles could survive an accident? because they're so lightweight and, you know, not, but that's just my opinion. Comment down below what you guys think. I want to hear your thoughts. All right, let's move on to our next story. Story 4, Daimler Truck. More than 1 million connected trucks and buses worldwide. Daimler Truck has achieved a significant milestone with over 1 million connected trucks and buses worldwide. This feat underscores the increasing importance of vehicle connectivity in the transportation industry, allowing for enhanced efficiency, safety, and performance. The connectivity of trucks and buses enable real-time monitoring of vehicle performance, remote diagnostics, and predictive maintenance. With an extensive network of connected vehicles, Daimler Truck can leverage data-driven insights to optimize fleet operations, minimize downtime, and improve overall customer satisfaction. This achievement reflects Daimler Truck's commitment to innovation and technological advancements in the commercial vehicle sector as the automotive industry continues to embrace digitalization and connectivity. Daimler Truck remains at the forefront, driving progress and shaping the future of transportation. So yeah, what do you guys think about essentially automaker, aka Big Brother, watching what your trucks are doing and how they're doing? I could see on the maintenance standpoint of being able to, you know, milestones, like if a vehicle reaches X amount of miles and it's due for its routine maintenance, of predicting, making sure, let's say if you're a subscriber or a fleet owner and you have one of your trucks that reaches these milestones, you can obviously get preemptive warning from their systems, I guess. And in theory, it could trigger like, okay, we know that this service and this service and this, or this milestone service is going to need, you know, these service parts, so they can, in theory, control, have inventory management of the parts on order or supply chain, you know, the aid in supply chain management, as far as, you know, sending a notification to the fleet owner saying, hey, this particular vehicle or X amount of these vehicles are coming due for this type of service. These are the recommended parts that we recommend you order before the vehicles come in for service so you can minimize your downtime. So I can see that as an aspect, but privacy concerns and everything else depends on how well it's going to be used and or abused. So yeah, let's hear your thoughts on that aspect. Move on to our next story. On to our last story. McLaren Group completes successful capital reorganization. McLaren has unveiled the stunning Artura, its first series production high-performance hybrid, or HPH, supercar. This groundbreaking model represents a new era for McLaren, combining advanced technology with an exhilarating driving experience the brand is renowned for. The Artura features a lightweight architecture incorporating a newly developed carbon fiber monocoque chassis, which contributes to an exceptional performance and agility, powered by a twin-turboed V6 engine combined with a electric motor. The Artura delivers impressive acceleration and efficiency, marking a significant step forward in McLaren's pursuit of sustainable performance. With its striking design, cutting-edge technology, and commitment to sustainability, the McLaren Artura sets a new benchmark for hybrid supercars. As McLaren continues to push the boundaries of automotive innovation, the Artura represents a bold statement of the brand's vision for the future of high-performance driving. And as well as, on, as far as they were talking about the capitalization, they're talking about the Bahrain Group recently purchased McLaren, you know, the company itself. So I'll try to get on maybe the next episode, have more detailed information as they become available, and I'll share that information with you. So what do you guys think about all four of these stories here right now, from McLaren to Daimler Truck's connectivity to Stellantis working with K California Air Resource Board, to the UAW and Volkswagen and Tesla shutting down its or limiting its production in Shanghai. Which of these stories did you find most interesting? And did you want to talk more about? Yeah, if you're not already following me, please follow me on Spotify. I'm trying to increase the our follower count on that platform, as well as all of our other platforms, whatever you prefer. But if you're a big Spotify user, please consider giving us a follow there if you're viewing and listening to our podcast on the Spotify player. Would greatly be appreciated. So, yeah, stay tuned. I produce this podcast 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Generally on Mondays, it's 5 a.m. Mondays, 9 a.m. on Wednesdays, and 12 noon on Fridays. If you have suggestions on better times, I could put a poll, comment down below. What you guys think you would prefer these episodes to be released? Would you rather I'll be all set on one specific time of the day on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, or whatnot? Like, does mornings work better for you, or would you prefer afternoon, evenings? And let me know if you guys would be interested in wanting to call into the podcast with questions or comments. Yeah, let me know about that aspect. I've been playing with that idea, and I'm thinking I got my podcast studio set up to where I'll be able to take callers' requests and comments live, or, well, live while filming, I should say. I'm a little hesitant pulling the trigger on doing a live stream of call-in shows because of some potential risks, and I'll leave it at that. So, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, leave me a comment down below, good, bad, whatever. I want to hear your thoughts. And I'm in the works with a couple sponsors that you may be hearing about in the near future. So stay tuned for that. Till then, see you next time.